Father, we thank you for the privilege to come together in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Together around that name that's above every name. The name of our Lord and of our Savior, the Lord Jesus. Thank you for the great, mighty Holy Spirit whom thou hast sent to be our teacher. And we trust him to unveil, to unfold, to reveal the Word of God unto our hearts and unto our spirits. May each one of us not just be hearers of the word only, but may we be doers thereof. Hallelujah. Acting upon the word. Putting God's word into practice. For it's then that we become recipients of all that you provided and promised. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Thank you, Lord. Praise God. If you have your Bibles, you can open them to the 4th chapter of Proverbs. Verse 20 through verse 22. My son, attend to my words. Incline thine ear unto my sayings. Let them not depart from thine eyes. Keep them in the midst of thine heart. For they, my words, are life unto those that find them. And health, my words are health to all their flesh. Hallelujah. And in the margin of my King James translation said, my words are medicine to all their flesh. Praise God. Amen.
Amen.
My words are medicine to all their flesh. That means from the top of your head to the soles of your feet.
That's right.
Praise God. This is one medicine to work for everything. Some medicines in the natural not work for everything. Of course, you know that. And sometimes there's some reaction, the wrong kind of reaction from some of it. But there will never be any kind of reaction, wrong reaction from this.
Yeah.
Amen. Because it's medicine or health to all your flesh. God's Word. We know, of course, that God heals in various ways and means and methods. And a lot of times, you know, there are gifts of the Spirit, gifts of healings, special faith, the power gifts that are in operation. A lot of times people are waiting for those things to be made manifest, and sometimes they are and sometimes they aren't, because it's not according to man's will whether they're manifest or not. It's according to the will of God or the will of the Spirit. Because the 11th verse of that 12th chapter, 1 Corinthians, said, all these worketh that one and self-same Spirit, dividing to every man, what? Dividing the manifestation. To every man as the Spirit wills. But you see, what happens to us a lot of times is that we wait on that which may happen or may not happen, but God's Word always works. I said God's Word always works. And so here again, we find that God tells us exactly how to have life and how to have health. So he must want us to have both of them, or he wouldn't have told us how to arrive. Amen? He must want us full of life, and I believe that's both spiritual and physical. And he wants us to be full of healing or health. Praise God. I believe that's God's desire for all of his children. You know, after all, he'd be unlike any other father if he didn't. I mean, how many of us desire for our children that they be sickly? You know any of them? Any fathers in the natural? I don't know any of you. Well, he'd be out of step with all the universe that he created. But thank God, in his great love and in his great provision, he's made provision for us to walk in life, eternal life, praise God. And not only that, but to walk in healing and health. So then he tells us how to take our medicine. Medicine won't work for you if you don't take it right. First, he said, attend to my words. That means put my words first. Give my words undivided attention. That means everything else out, God's word in. Second, he said, drink it in through the ear gate. Incline that ear unto my sayings. Open your ears to what God has to say. Close your ears to everything else. And then notice this, that the next verse says, let them not depart from before thine eyes. You're to look as well as listen. You're to look as well as listen. Keep your vision fixed on the Word of God. Keep your vision fixed on Jesus. You see, if you keep your vision fixed on this Word, you're going to keep your vision fixed on Jesus, because He's the living Word. And the written Word has been given to us to unveil to us the living Word. And you really can't know the living Word, the Lord Jesus, like you should if you don't know the written Word and walk in the light of the written Word. Now, it's amazing to me the thinking of some people that are Christians. No doubt about what they're Christians, born again, spirit-filled, all right. But to we people who put such, like a minister said to me, we people who put such emphasis on the Word. Well, the Word of God. You know, after all, God said in the Old Testament, Scripture said that He has magnified His Word above His name. The Bible said the entrance of His words giveth light. Hallelujah. And so a minister said to me, well, now if you put such emphasis on the Word of God, you see, the Bible, in other words, you know, are you taking away from Jesus? How in the world could you take away from Jesus by putting emphasis, praise God, on the book that's written about Him? See, isn't that stupid thinking? So therefore, you shouldn't magnify the Word, you see, because you may get people to attention diverted from Jesus. How are you going to get acquainted with Jesus except through the Word and through prayer? Yes. Smith Wigglesworth made this statement. He said, get acquainted with God and get acquainted with the Lord Jesus Christ through the Word. He's everything the Word says He is. And so you see, really, the Lord, they think, you know, that, well, now we're putting our vision on Jesus, you know, out here apart from the Word. And so Jesus never means to them all that He wants to, for the simple reason that you learn about Jesus, He's everything the Word says He is. Amen?
Amen.
I said amen?
Amen.
Praise God. Hallelujah. So you see, a lot of times people's wrong thinking that sounds very religious and awfully good can rob them of benefits God wants them to have. And this minister said to me, I mean, face to face, you know, he said, well, some folks feel like, you know, that you, by putting such emphasis on the Word of God, magnifying the Word of God, you know, that you're taking away from Jesus. Shouldn't you magnify Jesus? Well, you see, I wouldn't even know who I am in Him. Though I may be born again, though I may know Him and love Him and appreciate Him, I'll never know who I am in Him without getting into the written Word. For it's in here that I find out, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. And you see, if I go on thinking I'm still the same old creature, and if you talk to those folks, you'll find out that's the way they think. Still the same old creature it was, you know, just got forgiveness of my sins, but I just have to go through life and sort of lump it and do the best I can, you know. In the sweet by and by, it'll all be over. But oh, thank God. Thank God, get into the Word and find out who you are in Christ and who Christ is in you. Amen.
Amen.
And you see, you could just on Jesus, apart from the Word now, just on the person, the personality of the Lord Jesus Christ. Well, I love Him, sure, and I do too. Glory to God. Amen. And so I honor and worship and adore Him, the person, the Lord Jesus Christ. But I also honor and worship and adore the Word of God.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Amen. In the name of Jesus. But you see, if I don't know the Word, I don't emphasize the Word, I just sort of try to fix my gaze out here on Jesus in the unseen world somewhere or another. Then I won't find out, you know, that the greater one's in me. How am I going to find out who's in me? Thank God it's in the written Word I find out. Greater is He that's in you than he that's in the world. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Praise God. Well, that's the reason that we're to look at what this verse said. Let them, plural, my words, my sayings, not depart from before your eyes. Don't let them depart from before thy eyes. Then he said, keep them. Keep them, where? In the midst of thine heart. In the core of your being. The very center of your being, the midst of thine heart. You remember in the 119th Psalm, the 11th verse said, Thy word, the psalm said, Thy word have I hid in my heart, that I might not sin against thee. And so, what is it that you're to hide in your heart? God's word or words. Where is it that you're to hide them? In your heart. For what purpose? For their life. Oh, glory to God. For what purpose? For they are life. They, plural, they, my words are life unto those that find them, and health to all their flesh. All right, that's the purpose, and that's the end result of attending to His words, of inclining your ear to His sayings, of letting them not depart from your eyes, for keeping them in the midst of your heart. The end result is life and health. Simple, isn't it? But profound. Glory to God, hallelujah, amen. Well, all right, let's look at another. Let's look at something else here. Let's go back again to Matthew. Remember our thought, our central theme? Incline thine ear. Incline thine ear unto my sayings. All we're doing is just looking up some of God's sayings. This is what God said. Yeah, but now the doctor said. Yeah, but what did God say? Yeah, but now my pastor said he may be a good man, just don't know any better. Yes, but what does God say? Incline your ears unto whose sayings?
God.
Yeah, but now, Brother Hagin, my church teaches so-and-so. Well, that may be important, it may not be. Incline your ear unto church teaching. No. Incline your ear unto my sayings.
Right.
See, we incline our ears to everything else, don't we?
Yeah.
I said so many times, that's true. Incline your ear. Say it out loud. I am inclining
my ears
unto God's sayings. All right, you got your Bible open, Matthew 7? Let's read some more sayings. What about this 11th verse here? If ye then being evil know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your Father which is in heaven give good things to them that ask Him? Well, see what he's talking about. Let's back up here to the 7th verse. Ask. So he's talking about asking. You can see them that ask Him. Ask. And there is a faint possibility it might be given to you. Maybe. See, too many times that's the kind of thinking we have, and that's the reason it doesn't work. Ask, and it shall be given unto you. Seek, and ye shall find. Knock, and it shall be opened unto you. And one of those are positive statements. For everyone, well, you know it won't work for everyone now. That can't be right, Jesus. You must have missed that. Everyone that asketh receiveth. And he that seeketh findeth. And to him that knocketh it shall be opened. Or what man is there of you whom if his son ask bread? Now he just simply takes a natural father out here and a son. He said, his son, what man is it? What father is there among you? If his son ask bread, will he give him a stone? Or if he ask a fish, will he give him a serpent? If ye then being evil, carnal, natural, sinful, and that's man in his natural state and condition, isn't it? Know how to give good gifts. unto your children. Now let's stop just a minute and analyze that, because when you talk about that, some people said, well, you know, we don't always know what's good for us. You know, it may be good for us to have a good sick spell. Maybe to be bedfast for 6 months. You know, but God knows, and a lot of folks don't realize it, but what they're doing, they're putting the devil to work for them instead of God. And then they lay it off on God. In the first place, he's using the illustration of a natural human father and his son, isn't he? And if his son asked bread, would he give him a stone? If he asked for a fish, would he give him a serpent? Well, if he being evil then, natural and carnal and sinful, know how to give good gifts to your children. Now, do you know of any parents, any father, I mean even a sinner, got a little 3-month-old baby, and if he had the ability, he'd give him cancer? Or he'd strike him with blindness? No, you don't know of anybody. That's normal, you know. I mean, somebody's crazy. You can't tell about them what they might do. No, now why? Because you automatically know that's not good for them.
That's right.
Then secondly, let's examine the Bible to what the Bible said about good gifts. Turn to the book of James, the first chapter. Remember my central thought, my main theme, incline thine ear. That's what we're doing. Amen?
Amen.
I said amen.
Amen.
Incline thine ear. Unto what? My sayings. Well, yeah, I've even had people say, yeah, but now, Brother Hagin, that's just your interpretation of it. No, I said, I'm not interpreting it. I'm just reading it. Can't be interpreted. Don't need to interpret. I mean, you need to interpret this. Look at James 1:17. James 1:17. Every good gift. That's what he was talking about over there. What Jesus was talking about over there in that 11th verse, wasn't it? If you know how, you then being evil know how to give good gifts. All right. Good gifts. Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above. And cometh down from the Father of lights, with whom is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. Now every good gift and perfect gift cometh down from the from heaven and from the Father of lights. Then we know then that sickness is not a good gift, because it couldn't come from heaven. There's not any up there.
That's right.
Cometh down from above, or heaven. Not any up there, is there?
No.
So then sickness can't be a good gift. Disease cannot be a good gift. Then again, look at this verse of Scripture. Turn back now again to Acts, the 10th chapter, and the 38th verse. Acts chapter 10, verse 38. How God... See, now this is God at work. This is God's plan. This is God's will. This is my Father, of whom every good and perfect gift cometh down from above, from the Father of lights, with whom there's no variableness, neither shadow of turning. How God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and with power, who went about doing bad.
Good.
Doing good. What's the good he did? And healing a few that were oppressed of the devil, for God was with him. I mean, the Bible said healing's good. What about doing good? What about doing good? What about doing good? We all know, a strange thing, until it comes to divine healing. Until it comes to divine healing, everybody knows that sickness and disease is bad, and that health and being well is good. Everybody knows that. But then when you start talking to somebody, you know that because for the simple reason that even in the natural, you see somebody, well, how are you feeling? Well, I'm sure feeling good. I got 106 temperature. I was up all night coughing. Never slept a wink. I'm sure feeling good. No, I said I'm feeling bad. They all know that's bad. Amen? Everybody knows that's bad. Well, you see somebody said, my, you look so well. How you feel? Oh, man, I feel like a million. I never felt better in my life. I'll tell you, I sure feel good. Well, you understand that they're well, don't you? Huh? Amen? Now, everybody, I mean, I'm just speaking in the natural. You meet somebody on the street, some friend or somebody, or even a stranger never even met. Got introduced to him or something. You know, so, well, how you feeling? Oh, I'm feeling good. I'll tell you, I hurt so all night long, I never slept a wink. I'll tell you, I finally got to where I just couldn't lie there. Had to get up and sit in the chair. And you know, I had the greatest difficulty in the world of breathing. I'm feeling so good. I'll tell you, I check my heart and I skip it every other beat. I'm feeling so good. No, they said I'm feeling bad. I mean, even in the natural, people know that sickness and disease is bad. And that health and well is good. But then it's only when it comes to divine healing. Somebody's sick and you suggest to them, you know, God's the same. Jesus, same yesterday, today, forever. I mean, he's still in the healing business. Yes, but now maybe God put this on me because it's so good. See, to teach me something. Well, it would be good if it did. But do you know anybody ever taught him anything? No. Let me tell you something I know. I've been in this healing business for over 50 years. Sickness never brings the best out of anybody. It brings the worst out of them. Brings the worst out of them. Amen. You get crabby and short and short-tempered. Amen. Speak short. You don't feel good. Sometimes you just have to say to your wife or husband, well, forgive me, honey, I'm not feeling well today, you know, and before you know it, you're just chopping folks off. Sickness doesn't bring the best out of people, it brings the worst out of them. Amen. Doesn't it? Sure. Sickness is not good. It's only when it comes to divine healing that folks suggest, you know, in the hospital, I went there to visit somebody else as a pastor. Went there to visit somebody else. But then they were other there. There's other people that wanted me to visit them. And sometime in a ward, there's a number of people in the same ward, you know, not private rooms. And so others, you know, you spoke to them. And here's a person, you know, you talk to them. They're Christian, all right, know the Lord. Thoroughly born again, know they are. Well, you begin to talk about, we'll pray for it, God will heal you. Well, no, it might not be God's will to heal me. Well, you won't ask him if it's not, but you don't, you know, you got to be nice. If it's not God's will to heal you, what in the world are you doing here in the hospital? Paying out good money, trying to get out of the will of God. See, it only comes to, when it comes to divine healing, do people begin to question the will of God. Their thinking is not consistent. Might not be God's will to heal me. Well, if it isn't, stay sick then. Don't go to the doctor. Don't go to the hospital. Don't have that operation. Just stay like you are, because you want to stay in the will of God, don't you? But at the same time, just pray that you'll get sicker, so you'll get deeper in his will. Now, you see how stupid that is? No, it is God's will. I said it is God's will. It is God's will. How God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and power, who went about doing
good.
Woo, glory. Good. And healing all that were oppressed of the devil. Here the Bible said healing's good. Glory to God. It's one of God's good gifts. It's one of God's good gifts. Amen?
Amen.
Don't that sort of remind you of the 103rd Psalm when you say that? You're talking about God's good gifts. See, God's good gifts are for us. If ye know how, ye being evil know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more? My. Did you ever shout about how much more? I mean, how much more is something to shout about? This how much more is. How much more? 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 Woo! Glory! Glory! How much more? That's my God he's talking about. He's a God of the how much more. Hallelujah! Amen! That's my Father. How much more? How much more? How much more? How much more? Woo! Glory! How much more? How much more? Woo! How much more? 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 Oh, glory! Hallelujah! How much more? That describes my Father God. How much more shall your Father which is in heaven give good things unto them that ask him? You think about good gifts, you think about good things, you automatically think of the 103rd Psalm. Bless the Lord, O my soul. And all that's within me, bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all of his benefits. Benefits. Those are good things. Good gifts. Benefits. What are they? Who forgiveth? Well, I don't know. I've missed it so many times. I don't know whether the Lord will forgive me or not. I sure hope he will. Oh, no. No, 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 no. You haven't got the right picture. You're not attending to God's words. You're not inclining the ear to his sayings. You've let his words depart from before your eyes instead of his words in front of your eyes. You got your mistakes and your faults and failures in front of your eyes. Amen? No. Who forgiveth all thine iniquities? All but one? No. All thine iniquities. That's one of his good gifts, isn't it? Hallelujah. Aren't you glad? Aren't you glad? Aren't you glad? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank God. Who forgiveth all thine iniquities. I even know a preacher, bless their heart, full gospel, tongue talkers, they would have known better. They'd missed it. Not no great big sin. They didn't rob some bank, kill somebody. Just they missed it. They realized they missed it. And said to other fellow ministers, I've heard him say it myself, right in my own breath. Well, I hope the Lord will forgive me. I don't know whether he will or not. Why, you want to get a hold of somebody like that and shake them till the teeth rattle. And say, wake up, boy. Wake up. You let the devil defeat you. He forgiveth all thine iniquities. He will do it. He said he would. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord God. But that's not all that verse. The rest of the verse said, who healeth some of thy diseases. Well, some people he'll heal them if it's his will. No, 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 no. No, 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 no. Who forgiveth all thine iniquities and who healeth all thy diseases. Forget not all of his benefits. Well, now, that's 103rd Psalm, verse 1, 2, 3, you know. There's a little more to that, but I'm only emphasizing healing here. Now, everybody still believes, somebody said, yeah, but now that's the Old Testament. I've had people say that to me. Yeah, that's the Old Testament. They still believe, though, that under the New Testament, that the Lord still forgives sins, though. But he don't heal now anymore, you know. Well, then by coming out of the old covenant that's not as good as ours, and by coming over into a new covenant, by Jesus Christ, the Son of God, coming and dying on the cross and shedding His blood and being raised from the dead and establish a new covenant, we lost some benefits. He dropped some of the benefits for the people of God. How ridiculous to think like that. Can you see what defeats Christians? Churches, whole churches sometimes are defeated by wrong thinking. No, thank God. The new covenant has all of the benefits that the old covenant has and more too. Because it's a better covenant established on better promises. Yes. Hallelujah. 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 Praise His holy name forever. Well, did you wear your shouting clothes today?
Yes.
Here's one of my favorites. I just start getting happy and I start thinking about it. Amen. Turn over with me, please, to the 15th chapter of Matthew's Gospel. Matthew chapter 15. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Incline, remember, don't forget their main thought now. Incline thine ear unto my sayings. Well, we inclined our ear unto how much more? Glory to God. Incline thine ear unto whose sayings? My sayings. God's sayings. What Jesus said. For He is God manifested in the flesh. Praise God. All right, let's start reading here in the 15th chapter of Matthew with the 21st verse. Then Jesus went thence and departed into the coast of Tyre and Sidon. And behold, a woman of Canaan came out of the same coast and cried unto Him, saying, Have mercy on me, O Lord, Thou Son of David, my daughter is grievously vexed with a devil. And He answered her not a word. And His disciples came and besought Him, saying, Send her away, for she crieth after us. But He answered and said, I am not sent but unto the lost sheep of the house of Israel. Then came she and worshipped Him, saying, Lord, help me. But He answered and said, It is not meet to take the children's bread and to cast it to dogs. And she said, Truth, Lord. Yet the dogs eat of the crumbs which fall from their master's table. Then Jesus answered and said unto her, O woman, great is thy faith. Be it unto thee even as thou wilt. And her daughter was made whole from that very hour. Now, the word translated whole here, Greek word translated whole, if you look it up, is also sometimes translated healed. It's the same word used in connection with the woman with the issue of blood, you know, in Mark 5:34, where Jesus said to the woman that was healed of the issue of blood, Go thy way. And be healed or be whole, see, be whole of thy plague or be healed. And over in James, remember where it said, the prayer of faith shall save the sick. The Lord shall raise him up. Hallelujah. Prayer of faith will heal or make whole. Amen. Hallelujah. You remember that Peter, you remember over in Acts of the Apostles when he went into that fellow named Annas, you know. And he said, Jesus Christ maketh thee whole. Same word you see in the Greek. Maketh thee healed, in other words. So this is talking about healing, isn't it? Now there's another little side thought here. You know, separate from what I'm really talking about. But round the other hand, it's close. And I want you to notice something. Notice, because incline thine ear unto my sayings. Notice that... Again and again, not in every case is it mentioned, but in many cases, we saw that in other scriptures that we looked at. But you'll notice this, that very often the devil or demons is mentioned in connection with physical infirmities. Do you notice that? See, this woman came and said, My daughter is grievously vexed with the devil. Well, Jesus said, Go thy way, and as thou hast believed, so be it done unto thee. And in the same hour, her daughter was made whole. Doesn't say a word about it being delivered to the devil. But see, the devil's behind the whole thing. The devil's behind the whole thing. Amen. It's not the work of God. Sickness and disease is not the work of God. He's not the one that's behind it. Jesus plainly said in John 10:10, the thief is come, but for to kill, to steal, to destroy. But I am come, that you might have life, and that you might have it more abundantly. Praise God. All right. Notice, though, that it's healing that she came for. Jesus tells us, it is not meet to take the children's bread and to cast it to dogs. Jesus said that healing, now remember, incline thine ear unto my sayings. Jesus said healing is the children's bread. Didn't he? I said, didn't he?
Yes.
Hallelujah. Healing is the children's bread. Hallelujah. Healing is the children's bread. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Say it out loud. Healing is the children's bread. Say it again. Say it again. Whose bread? The children. What children is he talking about here? Well, he's talking about children of God, really. Hallelujah, his children. Glory to God, glory to God. Healing is the children's bread. Amen. Well, I always think when I say that, I always automatically think of the 23rd Psalm where he said he prepareth a table before us in the presence of our enemies.
Hallelujah.
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 I wonder if there's any bread on the table that he prepared. Well, we know there is. We know there is. Because he's already told us that healing is the children's bread. Now turn back there to the 23rd Psalm for just a moment. You understand that 22nd Psalm, 23rd Psalm, 24th Psalm are all Psalms of David. You understand that David is not only a king, but he's also a prophet. He had the anointing of the king. The Old Testament, God anointed people to stand in certain offices. Otherwise, what we'd call the laity and all other people knew nothing at all about the anointing or the power of God or the Spirit of God on them. But he anointed the priest to stand in that office. He anointed the king to stand in that office. He anointed the prophet to stand in that office. And that's the reason, you see, that when God would call people sometimes to do some special work, they didn't know whether it was God talking to them or who it was talking to them. Amen? Because they didn't know the Spirit. They didn't have the Spirit. And then he called people sometimes to do some certain thing, then he would anoint them to do that particular job. Praise God. Amen?
Amen.
And so, being a prophet, see, very often some of these psalms were given for David's own benefit, but then they are prophetic. And they are messianic. And actually, in the 22nd Psalm, you get a picture in that psalm of the crucifixion of Christ. Now, like, for instance, the very first verse starts out with, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? Well, that's what Jesus cried out on the cross. My God, why hast thou forsaken me? Amen? And you will find as you go down through there that you get a picture, actually, of the crucifixion. Then you come to the 23rd Psalm, and we're living in that Psalm right now, the 22nd Psalm has been fulfilled. You might read a few verses. See, because not the whole psalm, part of the psalm applied to Israel. But part of it was really. You see, you start reading to the 13th verse of that 22nd psalm. I want you to see a picture of the, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? They gaped upon me with their mouths, 13th verse. As a ravening and a roaring lion, I'm poured out like water. All my bones are out of joint. My heart's like wax. It is melted in the midst of my bowels. My strength is dried up like a potsherd. And my tongue cleaveth to my jaws. And thou hast brought me into the dust of death. For dogs have compassed me. The assembly of the wicked have enclosed me. They pierced my hands and my feet. They did what? Pierced my hands and my feet. Amen.
Amen.
I may tell all my bones. They look and stare upon me. They part my garments among them and cast lots upon my vesture. See, David, way back there, prophesied. See, exactly what happened to crucifixion. And so on. I just wanted you to see that. Now then, that has been fulfilled. We know that. But the 23rd Psalm is present tense. We're living in that one right now. The Lord is my shepherd.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Well, Jesus said, I am the good shepherd. Yeah. Praise God. Now, the 24th Psalm, see, in the 22nd Psalm, we see Jesus dying. We see the crucifixion. My God, why hast thou forsaken me? And so on. We see these other verses that came to pass. 23rd Psalm. Like I said, he is the good shepherd. In the 24th Psalm, he's the coming King of Kings and Lord of Lords upon the earth. Now, he's the King of Kings and Lord of Lords in my heart and life and in his spiritual kingdom right now. Amen.
Amen.
Hallelujah. But, you see, he starts this 24th Psalm by saying the earth is the Lord. So he's talking about the earth. The earth is the Lord's, and the fullness of the world, and they that dwell therein. Huh. Well, the world is not the Lord's now, and they that dwell in the earth and the world are not the Lord's now. Most of them are children of the devil. And in 2 Corinthians 4:4, it said Satan's the god of this world. Doesn't it? See? See, the 24th Psalm is yet to be fulfilled. Thank God the time's coming.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
The time's coming.
Amen.
When the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof, the world and they that dwell therein. Hallelujah. Praise God. And he will become, thank God, the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Of the whole earth. Now then, right now, present tense, in my life, he's King of Kings, glory to God, and Lord of Lords. Amen?
Amen.
And in his spiritual kingdom upon the earth, of which we're in the kingdom, kingdom in us, he's King of Kings and Lord of Lords. See, that's the way you get into this kingdom, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth, the Lord Jesus, or Jesus, the margin said, as Lord. That means he's the Lord of your life. Amen?
Amen?
Hallelujah. Now, you can't confess him Lord over somebody else. They'll have to do that themselves. Because if you could, we'd all do that today and we'd all go into millennium tomorrow.
Yeah.
Amen. But I can't do that for you. You can't do that for me. That if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus. Amen. And I think some people think, you know, that you can confess Jesus Lord over a whole city. Well, you can't. And that's going to bring it to pass. It's not. It's going to come to pass when he comes back again. That's the reason he said, go into all the world and preach the gospel. You've got to get them converted for him to become their Lord. Amen? Are you listening to me?
Yes.
But, however, thank God we are now, present tense, living in the 23rd Psalm. Right now. I mean, if the 23rd Psalm don't belong to us, what do you want to read it for? I mean, there's no use reading something that don't belong to you. I mean, why mess with it? Why quote it? But you can readily see it does belong to us. Jesus said, I am the good shepherd. The psalmist said, David said, speaking by the Spirit of God, the Lord is my shepherd. I am full of want. Isn't that what he said? Oh, no. That's the way most folks are, though. No, the Lord is my shepherd. Hallelujah. The Lord. Hallelujah. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. I always quote that in the present tense. I do not want. I do not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the path of righteousness for his name's sake. Yeah, that all belongs to us. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Now you see, the unconverted person, the one that's never been born again, and in the natural mind, they think he's talking about physical death here. And if we listened to him, why, you'd think it. He's not no more talking about physical death here than anything normal. He's talking about spiritual death. Yea, though I walk, see, that's where I am right now. I'm walking right now through the valley of the shadow of death. I'm walking through the valley of this world where spiritual death is ruling and reigning on every hand. Spiritual death is of Satan, you see. And Satan's the god of this world. Spiritual death is sin. Spiritual death is sickness and disease. Spiritual death is poverty. Those are all the products of spiritual death. And I'm walking through the valley of the shadow of death. But I fear no evil. Glory to God. Now why? For thou art with me. See, he said, Jesus said, I'll never leave thee nor forsake thee. I'll go with you always, even to the end, King James said, to the end of the world. Well, that meant this present world system. Or to the end of the age. You see, until this age, this present age, runs out, we'll still be in the valley of the shadow of death. But I'll be with you. Go with you. Hallelujah. I'll never leave you nor forsake you. I like the Spanish translation. Here it reads like this. I'll be with you every day. Glory to God. See, sometimes if you're not careful, you know, I'll go with you. I'll be with you. I'll not forsake you. That sort of puts it off out here somewhere. But when he said, I'll be with you every day, that brings it down right now. Right now. Though I'm in the valley of the shadow of death, though the shadows grow long, I'm with you. I'll never leave you. I'll never forsake you. See? Though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I'll fear no evil, for thou art with me. Hallelujah. Turn over for just a minute to the book of Hebrews, the last chapter of the book of Hebrews. 13th chapter of the book. And hold your place out of the 23rd Psalm. Hold your finger right there. We're coming back to that. Be sure if you didn't wear them, be sure some way or another get your shouting clothes on now, because you're going to shout here in a minute. Get ready. Amen. Now you see here, the latter part of the 13th, of the 5th verse of the 13th chapter. For he has said, I will never leave thee, nor forsake thee, so that we may boldly say, the Lord is my helper, I will not fear. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. See, I told you that belongs to us. That's us. This is a picture of us. I'll fear no evil. Why? For thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Now leave that just a minute. We'll come back to it. Thou anointest my head with oil. Glory to God. That's a type of the baptism of the Holy Ghost. Oil's a type of the Holy Ghost. My cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. See, this is talking about the whole Psalms, talking about the days of my life. Not when I die and go to heaven. And so therefore, you have to interpret verse 4 in light of what it said in verse 6. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, that has to do with this life. This life. Surely goodness and mercy. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. All the days of my life. And I will dwell in the house of the Lord for a few days. No, thank God, forever. 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 Hallelujah. Glory to God. Amen. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me. Woo, my. You can preach healing from that verse. Amen. You can preach healing from that verse. The Lord went about doing good and healing. Hallelujah. Every good gift. Amen. For the Lord is good and His mercy endureth forever. See, you just think, well, He's good to save, good to forgive, merciful. Thank God for that. Thank God He is. But now, wait a minute. The Bible said healing's good. The Lord went about doing good and healing. Hallelujah. And then we notice by reading, hearing these four Gospels again and again, when they come to Jesus for healing, they said, have compassion on us. To have compassion, the dictionary said, means to be full of mercy. Hallelujah. In fact, the Greek word very often is interchangeable. They translate it sometimes mercy. Same word. Same Greek word. Have mercy on us. They cried out for mercy. 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 And over in the letters that Paul wrote to the church, right to the church at Corinth, he said, God is the Father of mercies. You see, if He is still just merciful to save and to forgive, then He's only the God of mercy. One. But He's the God of mercies. Healing is one of His mercies. Surely goodness and mercy will follow me. How many days? All the days. Healing will follow me. Health will follow me. All the days of my life. Don't have to worry about old age now. Of course, I'm a young fellow like me. Doesn't bother about that anyway. Just had my 39th birthday last month. For the 38th time. Amen. Hallelujah. Surely goodness and mercy will follow me all the days. All the days. How many expect goodness and mercy to follow them?
Yeah.
Hallelujah. All the days. Well, that means healing too. That means health too. See, incline years to my sayings. Why? Their life, and to those that find them, their health. Hallelujah to all their flesh. Glory to God. I just don't see too much in the Bible about divine healing like you do, brother. Hey, get your eyes open. I'm talking about your spiritual eyes. Amen. Hallelujah. Well, sure, here's healing right here. Surely goodness and mercy will follow me all the days of my life, and I'll dwell in the house of the Lord forever. But let's back up there to that fifth verse, thou preparest a table. Thou preparest a table before me. Where? Where is it? Where is the table? It has to be right here then, doesn't it? Can't be up in heaven in the sweet by and by. The marriage supper of the Lamb. No. It's here in the presence of my enemies. That's where my enemies are, down here. Amen. They're real. But right in the presence of them. Don't you like that? See, they can't get up to the table. Oh, glory to God. Hallelujah. Amen. But you see, the problem with a lot of folks is they're sitting at the table, all right, but they're looking the wrong direction. They're looking back there at the enemies. Some of them keep looking at their symptoms. They look at what the devils are doing. Get your eyes on the table and see what God's doing. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Yes, mine enemies in the presence. They're right there. They're right there. What are some of these enemies? Sin. Bad habits. Sickness. Disease. Poverty. Fear. You know any greater enemy than fear? Fear. Every one of these enemies are real. Sure, they're real. We're not belittling that. But what we're saying is just what the Bible said. Bible didn't say they're not there in the presence of the enemies that are absent. No, he didn't even say in the presence of the enemies that are not seen. Didn't even say that. Yeah, he said they're real. Yes, sir. You walk through the valley of the shadow of death, dear friends. Those enemies are real. And they're on every hand, on every side. Amen?
Amen.
But thank God, he prepareth a table. Now, notice that. Notice that. He prepareth. Present tense, you know. He's not going to prepare. He not has had prepared. See, this has to be a present tense thing. It has to be a continual thing. It has to be a constant thing. You see, go back to our original text there. My son, attend unto my words. He didn't say to it, my son, see that you have attended unto my words. Or see to it that you do attend. No, attend, present tense. It has to be a constant, present thing. Like I said again, Romans 10:17 said, so then faith cometh by hearing and hearing. By the word of God. It doesn't say faith comes by having heard. You may have heard me teach along this line before, see? And if you're not careful, your natural tendencies or inclinations, incline ear, inclination, you'll be inclined to say, oh, I heard that. Well, faith doesn't come by having heard. So it'll miss you and pass you right by. It has to be a continual thing. Constant thing. Amen?
Amen.
And so he prepareth. Present tense. It's there all the time. It's there all the time. It's prepared all the time. Prepareth a table before us. In the presence of our enemies. Glory to God. Right in the presence of them. Right while they're looking on. Right while they're right there. But see, the problem is people are more conscious of the presence of the enemy than they are conscious of the table. Some of them don't even know it's there. Because they'll keep talking about the devil, what he's doing. Oh, how bad I feel. Oh, I'll tell you, the devil's got me down. I'll tell you, the devil's been after me all the week. See? They keep talking about the enemy. They keep talking about what he's doing. They got their eyes on him. See? Well, they're there all right. Well, you don't deny them. But get your eyes off of them and turn around and look at the table. What's on the table? Well, I know that there is bread there because Jesus said that healing is the children's bread. And then secondly, Jesus said, I am the bread sent down from heaven. Get your eyes on the bread. Get your eyes on the bread. But you see, a lot of folks have got their eyes on the dread. The things they dread. But get your eyes on the bread. The things that you dread will cause fear. Enemy, fear is an enemy. And it's a spirit. Because Paul said, writing to Timothy, God has not given us the spirit of fear. So fear is a spirit. Then fear must be one of those enemies because those are spiritual enemies. Amen?
Amen.
Hallelujah. But forget about turning around looking at the enemies. They're all around you. Sure they are. Sure they are. Sure they are. But what of it? Hallelujah. He prepareth the table. Where is the table? Behind me. No, no, no. Before me. Hallelujah. I said hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
It's right there in front of you. Right in the presence. I like that. Old Slewfoot's looking on, but he can't get up to the table. He can't get up to the table. But I can, because I belong there. It's the Father's table. You know, really, if Christian people of God really understood what the Bible said, you never would have to have, not for Christians you wouldn't, a healing line.
That's right.
Amen.
Amen.
Because you see, when we partake of the communion, there's the bread. There's the bread. Healing is the children's bread. Turn right there. Let me borrow your Bible. I won't have to walk up there and get mine. You know yours well enough to know what I'm saying, so anyhow. Amen. But I just want to read it. I can quote it, but I want you to turn with me too. Praise God. Turn over here to 1 Corinthians, the 11th chapter. Because you see here, Paul said, "For I have received," 23rd verse, "for I have received of the Lord that which also delivered unto you, that the Lord Jesus, the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he brake it and said, 'Take, eat. This is my body, which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me.' With his stripes were healed, by whose stripes ye were healed." Hallelujah. "After the same manner also he took the cup when he had supped, saying, 'This cup is the New Testament in my blood. This do ye as oft as you drink it in remembrance of me.'" And so you see, we eat that. If you read it, you know what you're doing. And believe it, when you eat that bread, you're announcing, I'm eating at the Father's table every day. Lord God, this table here that you're talking about in 23rd chapter. 23rd Psalm. I'm eating there every day. Glory to God. You see, healing is the children's bread.
Yes.
Say it out loud.
Healing is the children's bread.
Say it again.
Healing is the children's bread.
Say it again.
Healing is the children's bread.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Healing is the children's bread.
Glory.
Amen. Then you see, when I take that bread that's broken, and I eat that bread, that's just a type. That just typifies the fact that I'm every day, praise God, that table that's before me. It's before me always. I'm partaking of that bread, so I'm walking in healing. I'm walking in health. And folks just knew that that'd cure sickness in the body of Christ. Now we'd have to get out there in the world, let them know about it. Praise God. Hallelujah. I said hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
But you see, we have to meet people on these different levels because God will in His great mercy. Because His mercy, because He is so merciful. He meets people on various levels. Whatever the level of their faith is, that's where He'll meet them. And bless them. And help them. And heal them. And work with them. Praise the Lord. Aren't you glad?
Amen.
That He is so wonderful and so gracious and so kind and so full of mercy. But let's get back to the table. What's on the table? Praise God, praise God, praise God, praise God, praise God. Well, there is the remission of sins. That's where we all start. There is the remission of sins. Now, actually, you don't see this truth as you ought to see it by just reading the King James translation. You see, there's a different Greek word translated remission of sins than is translated forgiveness. And actually, if you'll go back and look the Greek word up, you'll find that the Greek word for remission is remission of sin is always used in connection with the world or sinners. The sinner receives remission of sins, not just forgiveness. But then we Christians receive forgiveness of sins. There's a difference, distinction between the two. Now you see, remission of sins means this, that all of our past is remitted. Then not only that, but all of our past life in the sight of God. See, not your physical life, but all of your life in the sight of God is remitted. It's gone. And you become brand new.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. That means brand new, doesn't it? I said, doesn't it? See? That's remission. See, now, if you sin as a born-again believer, you don't get born again and become another new creature. You're the same new creature you were. You just get forgiven of your wrong. See? So first of all, right up here at the head of the table, praise God, there's remission of sins or the new birth for us, see? So bless God, here we are, glory to God, sitting at Father's table, born again, hallelujah, become a new creature, receive remission. Remission of sins. All of our past, all of our past life in the sight of God is blotted out. Amen. It's all blotted out. I'm talking about in the sight of God, not in the sight of man. They'll always remind you of it. And the devil too. But God won't. I said God won't. Amen. And so because he said he'd hide your sins in the depth of the sea. And in the sea of forgetfulness. Say, well, how does he do it? Well, because he's God. Well, I can't. I know it. You ain't God. Hallelujah. Praise God. So right up here, you see. Excuse me. It's a new birth. Remission of sins. And that's as far as a lot of people are. They just sit up there and eat. They don't say, pass me anything else. And the table's there full of all kinds. Full of all kinds of good stuff.
That's right.
Now, thank God for that. Don't misunderstand me at all. We're not belittling that at all. But then we got born again. We received remission of sins. We became new creatures. And we were thrilled. Oh, man, just so thrilled. I mean, we were thrilled. Just seemed like we was floating along, you know, on cloud nine. But sooner or later, you know, because you're still living in this flesh. And your body will keep wanting to go right on doing the things it did before. And as long as your spirit, you see, is in walking in the newness of that life and the ecstasy, fine, fine, fine. But after a while, you see, you wake up and you find out you still got a body. And your body will talk to you, too. If you don't think it will, you just go on a 3-day fast and see what it says to you. Amen. And so your body will want to do some things that's wrong. And then the devil will work through the flesh. And then because you as a baby Christian hadn't had any chance to grow much and maybe didn't have too good teaching, you missed it. And then the devil told you, said, well, you might as well quit. You could never live it anyway. Besides that, God don't love you anymore because you've sinned. But thank God there's another dish there. It's called forgiveness of sins.
Amen.
I think maybe I've eaten out of that dish more than any of them.
Amen.
Oh, thank God. Thank God if it wasn't for that, wouldn't be a one of us in this room today.
Amen.
First John epistle. 1 John was not written to sinners, was not written to the world. John said, my little children. Well, he says there in 1 John 1:9, but if we confess, we confess our sin. See, you, minutes you do wrong, you know it right in here. You know it. Don't anybody have to tell you? Well, so-and-so told me, though. Well, forget what so-and-so told you. They're not your conscience anyway. Yeah, but so-and-so, I had this really helped. So-and-so said you oughtn't wear a tie. Oh, dear God. That's ignorance gone to seed. Amen. Amen. And you ladies shouldn't wear pearl. Well, they're not pearls anyway. But, you know, you get all kinds of ideas that people have. Bless their darling hearts and stupid heads. But that man on the inside knows. If you missed it, if you missed it, he'll tell you. Amen. But don't go on. Just stop right there and say, Lord, I missed it. Just stop, praise God, and say, pass me the bowl of forgiveness. I mean, I may need a whole platter full of it. Amen.
Amen.
Forgiveness.
Amen.
If we confess our sin, turn your Bibles over there. Yeah, I quote these scriptures, maybe it just runs off of you like water off a duck's back. 1 John. 1 Epistle of John. Thank you for finding that for me. You're really nice. Let's start reading here. Let's start with this third verse and pick up here something real quick. That which we have seen and heard declare we unto you, that you also may have fellowship with us. Fellowship. Truly our fellowship, count how many times he mentions fellowship. That's twice. Is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ. These things write we unto you, that your joy may be half full. 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 He wants your joy full. Well, what he's writing here, will these things shall write unto you that your joy may be full. It'll cause your joy to be full. All right. This then is the message which we have heard of him declaring to you, that God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. Not a bit. If we say we have fellowship, that's the third time he's mentioned fellowship, with him, and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. But if we walk in the light, as he's in the light, we have fellowship. That's the fourth time he's mentioned fellowship. With one another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanses us from all sin. As long as you're walking in all the light you have, though, you do make mistakes. You look back and you see you made more than you thought you did. Now that you grew a little bit. Thank God, though, your joy can be full because you know that the blood of his Son cleanses you. The blood of his Son cleanses you. The blood of his Son cleanses you. Glory to God, glory to God, glory to God, glory to God from all sin.
Hallelujah.
If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, the truth is not in us. Now don't take that verse out of its setting and say, well, we've all got sin. No, he's talking about that fella that's walking in darkness. That's the fella he's talking about. You've got to keep that verse with all the rest of it. See, if we say, back up there, if we say we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. See? If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, the truth's not in us. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just. Everybody say he's faithful and just.
He's faithful and just.
Hallelujah. And that word just, same Greek word, is also translated righteous. He's faithful and righteous. Some translations read that way. He's faithful and righteous. To forgive us. See, there's forgiveness. See, he's writing to Christians here. This isn't written to sinners. He's talking about people that's walking with the Lord in fellowship with him. He mentioned fellowship four times. It isn't written to sinners. I told you, sinner receives remission of sins. Christians receive forgiveness of sins. Thank God there's remission of sins. Thank God there's forgiveness of sins.
Amen.
If we confess our sins, he's faithful and just. You see, it's a matter of his faithfulness. It's a matter of his righteousness. He's faithful and just to do what? Forgive us our sins. And cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say we have not sinned, we make him a liar and his word not in us. Now he's not just talking about people who's walking in fellowship in full light. He's talking about those folks that said I'm in the light and walking in darkness. See? All right. John didn't write a letter in chapter and verses. You know that. How many people you write a letter in chapter and verses to? Man divided that. So, he's still talking about the same thing in chapter 2, the beginning of it, as he is here in chapter 1. My little children. See, that's who he's writing to. Not sinners. My little children. His own converts. My little children, these things I write unto you that you sin not. Now, two things. Notice. Back up there to that other verse we read that earlier. These things write we unto you that your joy may be full. I have two purposes in mind why I'm writing to you. Number one, that your joy may be full. And number two, that you sin not. Now, if you just stopped right there, we'd all been left in a mess. Because we'd say, oh, dear God, I sinned. I missed it, so I'm out. No. And if any man sin, we have an advocate. Oh, aren't you glad? Aren't you glad? We have an advocate. An advocate means a lawyer or one who pleads our case. And he never has lost one. Woo! Before the bar of justice, he's never lost a case yet. Amen. If we have an advocate with the Father, even though we sin, surely goodness and mercy will follow me. Oh. See, it's been following some of you and you didn't know it. He ignored it. And if any man sin, we have an advocate. Even though you fail, even though you sin, you're still not left out. You've got an advocate. A lawyer. One who pleads your case with the Father. Who is it? Jesus Christ, the righteous. He's always righteous. You sin, you lose your sense of righteousness. Don't you feel miserable? Don't you feel awful? Isn't it terrible? You lose all your sense of righteousness. And you can't go in. But oh, thank God, you've got one. The bread of heaven. Jesus said, I'm the bread that was sent down from heaven. Hallelujah. 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 Glory to God. Hallelujah. Woo. Praise God. Amen. 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 Amen.
Thank you, Lord.
Thank God. If any man sin, see, you got to realize this again. You know, we're getting all this business, you know, of when God calls man, he's talking about both man and woman. He said he created man, the Bible said in the beginning, and he created them, male and female. See, they're both man. So when any man, if any man, that is among you, man, male or female, sin, we have an advocate. Oh, thank God. Boy, we'd been out of, we hadn't. Oh, Lord. But thank God, Father's table. See, there's plenty on that table for everybody. We have an advocate with the Father. Who is he? Jesus Christ. Thank God for Jesus. Thank God for Jesus. Hold on to him. I mean, hang on, hang on. Don't let go. Jesus Christ the righteous. What about him? And he is the propitiation for our sins. Talking about sins of Christians. Oh no, he's not giving you a license to sin. If you're really saved, you don't want to sin anyhow. You dismiss it because you didn't know any better a lot of time, but the flesh threw you. Wrong teaching, a wrong lot of things. He is a propitiation for our sins. That is, he's the atonement for our sins. Now notice, and not for our sins only, but also for the sins of the whole world. You see, he talks about two classes of people and their sins. Our sins and the sins of the whole world. That's the reason you can find healing. See, people all the time when it comes to healing, they say, oh, Brother Hagin, I missed it. I failed. I've sinned. He won't heal me. And the devil will tell you. Now, he won't heal you, see, because you missed it. Sure, he'll tell you that. But thank God, bless the Lord, oh, my soul, and all that's within me. Bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, oh my soul, and forget not all of his benefits. See, that table is laden with benefits. Amen. Who forgiveth all but one of your iniquities.
All.
Huh? Huh?
All.
One fellow down in Georgia, one of the full gospel church. True story. His wife left him. Actually, she got involved, I think, with some other fellow, and so she left him. And so he married again. So he's divorced, remarried, and they turned him out of the church. He said, I'd been better off if I'd killed her. He said, they'd have forgiven me if I'd killed her. They'd forgive him when he prayed through and took him back in. Oh, dear God. It would be fun if it wasn't so pathetic. I said it would be fun if it wasn't so pathetic. Who forgiveth all your iniquities but one? Well, there's a few of them he won't forgive. Huh?
No.
What?
No.
All who healeth all thine diseases. Hallelujah. And so there's forgiveness.
Yes.
There's forgiveness on the table. Let's get back to our main line here. The other's good too, isn't it?
Amen.
It's good eating, isn't it?
Amen.
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 I said amen.
Amen.
But healing's the children's bread. That's talking about there. In Matthew, that's physical deliverance. That's healing of the body. That's the children's bread. Say it out loud. Healing is the children's bread.
Healing is the children's bread.
Say that again.
Healing is the children's bread.
Say this. I am a child of God.
I am a child of God.
That is, if you are, how many of you are? You're a child of God. All right. Say, I am a child of God.
I am a child of God.
Healing
is my bread.
Now turn to your neighbor and point to him and say, healing
is your bread.
Healing
is our bread.
Healing
is the children's bread.
Now some people imagine that God's got some faith. Well, I've actually had people say, well, God likes you better than he does me. No, he don't. God don't have any favorite children. I said, God don't have any favorite children. He loves all of us the same love. He's made the same preparation for all. Did you notice he didn't say healing is the child's bread?
No.
No. Plural. Children. The children's.
Yes.
All of them. Belongs to you just as much as does me. Yeah, he loves you more than he does me. I've had people really say that because God did something for me. No, he don't love me more than he loves you. No, 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 no. I may have become, in this particular case with that person, better acquainted with him, but he's still their father as much as he is mine. They're born again. I may have come to find out a little bit more about what belongs to him, and they did, but he didn't love me any more than did them. He made the same provision for them as he did for me. Healing's the children's bread. So let's say healing's the children's bread.
Healing is children's bread.
Healing is our bread.
Healing is our bread.
So then
healing
is my bread.
Is my bread.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Glory. Glory, hallelujah. Amen. Glory, hallelujah.